On this episode of The Edge podcast, ClearEdge CEO Leslie Vickery interviews Colleen Whiteside, Senior Partner and Marketing Director at Orion Talent, a full-service recruitment processing outsourcing organization that specializes in military hiring and skilled talent acquisition. Colleen shares why Orion Talent has an aspect of the business that uniquely focuses on military recruitment, her advice to companies going through an acquisition based off of what she just learned going through a major acquisition, how she instills cohesion in a remote team, what excites her most about marketing today, what she would be doing if she wasn't in marketing, and so much more. I hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi, everyone. This is Leslie Vickery, the CEO and founder of ClearEdge Marketing, and I am thrilled to have with me today on the Edge podcast, Colleen Whiteside, the Senior Partner and Marketing Director for Orion Talent. Welcome, Colleen.
Thanks so much, Leslie. It's great to be on today.
Excellent. Well, you have been with Orion Talent for 12 years, and over that time, I'm sure you've seen a lot of change. In particular, I know just having worked with you guys a little bit on this, most recently the acquisition of Novotis by Orion International, which essentially created Orion Talent. So first, I've heard over the years a lot about the company's foundation in military recruitment. So I think it'd be great for everyone on the phone or listening into this podcast to better understand a little bit behind the why of the focus as far as it comes to military recruitment and kind of what has drawn that foundation to the company.
Sure. So Orion was founded as Orion International back in 1991, and we were founded by five former junior military officers who really were trying to pave the way for other veterans. And it's hard to imagine that now because veteran employment has become such a hot topic in the last 6 or 7 years, and you really can't turn around without hearing about veteran employment or veteran unemployment and kind of that transition and assimilation of veterans into the workforce. But that's not always been the case. So back in 1991, when we were founded, there was actually very little out there for those leaving the military. And for the most part, people getting out kind of thought, oh, I need to stay in the same type of position or the same role that I served in the military. So the options were basically defense contractors for the most part. And so there was a small group of companies at that time who realized there are a lot more out there that military can do and be successful at, and really wanted to kind of serve as matchmakers and the advocates within the business world and to really make that business case for companies of why hire a military. So that's why we were started. And back in 1991, we worked only with junior military officers leaving the service. So only officers, meaning they have a bachelor's degree at minimum, and they've served a leadership role in the military, usually between 5 and 10 years. In 1994, we became the first company to also work with enlisted service members. And that was a very big deal because that group had been very underrepresented to that point. So we became the first company to place technicians leaving the military, especially then when the GI Bill was not nearly as robust as it is now. Most of those candidates would not have had a bachelor's degree, and we were really able to place them into great technical roles within, American industry. So over time, we've certainly grown a lot, have brought out new offerings such as military talent programs, where we do all of the military hiring for a company, contract and temp to perm staffing with military. And now we even do veteran outreach services and military talent launch, where we actually go in and we can build the program for a company and they own that program. So it's very cool. It's been this great evolution of kind of starting with the one-to-one match for those leaving service and getting them into industry. And now it's really just taken on so much of a bigger scale, and we really can offer just about anything for military recruiting. So in January of 2016, we celebrated our 25th anniversary and then acquired Novotis about a week after that. So with the acquisition of Novotis, which is now Orion Novotis, we can offer companies skilled talent acquisition and also recruitment process outsourcing. So we're really able to fill all positions for a customer rather than just those that are best suited for military. So it kind of gave us the ability to be a full service provider of all types of talent, not just military.
So I would say you all are the real deal when it comes to military hiring and veterans and so forth. Obviously, over recent years, we've heard a lot about companies starting to add that. And what inevitably happens is they'll hire, let's say, a former person from the military and start a practice, which is still fantastic. It's drawing awareness and giving opportunities, but it's more than just getting, you know, status and being certified. Your company has a foundation behind that, so that's really impressive. I think for those listening, sometimes it can be confusing to understand the difference between civilian recruiting and military recruiting. And I actually just had a conversation earlier today with someone whose husband is in the military, and she kept kind of flipping between civilian and military in the conversation. So perhaps you can explain the difference between that.
Sure. So I think one of the kind of fundamental differences is that when you are in the military, you know your transition date. You might know it, not exaggerating, 5 years in advance to the day. So it's not like most of the time as a civilian, when you're job hunting, you're either available now or, you know, you were available yesterday and want to start working kind of immediately, or you are currently employed and you're looking, but it's a different type of search. When you're in the military, you have years to prepare for that transition. So you really have kind of the time and space, and the sky is really the limit when you get out. You're starting over. You have a relocation from the military, so you can really go anywhere that you want to. You can join any industry that makes sense for you. So it's really a start over point at that transition time. On the flip side, though, so that's kind of the great, you know, potential. In most cases, you've never had a job interview before, or you've never written a resume before. So the military career progression is much more prescribed than the civilian like ladders are, and might be something where, okay, you were 2 years in this place, and so now you're going to be transferred and move somewhere else, and you're most likely going to be promoted within a very, very certain timetable, unless you, you know, do something really wrong or kind of really outshine your peers. So a lot of times that the difference is, you know, you're used to sort of more of a progressive timeline of promotions and next step, whereas when you make that transition to the civilian world, you really, it's on you, right? And you're promoted based on merit, what you make for yourself, but kind of making that jump, there's a lot of challenges there. And that's where we come in, is really helping them put their very best foot forward, help the company see exactly what they're bringing to the table, regardless of the words on the resume or acronyms used or titles that don't match up, and just really kind of bringing it down to the intangibles and what they're going to bring and transfer to the civilian workforce.
That is a perfect explanation. Thank you so much. That was really very, very helpful. I feel much more educated now and wish I could redo that conversation earlier today. Anyway, thank you for that. So you, Colleen, have been with Orion Talent now for 12 years, which is a very nice tenure. So tell us a little bit about the company and that, you know, what makes you so loyal to them.
Sure. So it really is the mission, first of all. My husband was in the Army, so I was an Army spouse for 5 years. And just really, once you're in that community, you want to be a part of it as much as you possibly can. So he's been out now for, gosh, 12 years. So it's been a while. But I really love that connection and being able to say that we have found careers for almost 42,000 veterans. That's 42,000 families and lives impacted for the better. And I'm very proud of that. So it really is. The fact that we are part of something so much bigger than any of us individually is very cool. And then beyond that, it's really the people. So my team is just fantastic. There are 10 of us in the marketing department, and 4 of us have been together for over 10 years. I've got this great group of really hard workers, but they're also really good people. So I have this great opportunity to lead them. I work for our CEO, Mike Starich, which is just a fantastic experience, and I learn something new all the time. I'm really able to make a lot of impact in the company. And when I started, it was January of 2016. And I was hired as marketing manager, which I loved the title of marketing manager, but I only managed myself. It was just me. So it was my one person department. And it's really been great to be able to build this great team up and to manage them and lead them. And it's never boring. Every day is a challenge. And I feel like I really get to make a difference. So it's really been a rewarding almost 12 years.
Excellent. It makes a huge difference when you feel like you're making an impact. And I think when marketing can have a seat at the table with you, for example, reporting into the CEO, and they listen and trust you and take your ideas, and you've been able to grow a team, that speaks volumes for you and also the company. So I could see why you're so loyal to them. So if we look at, we talked earlier a little bit about the acquisition from Novotis, and I know there's a lot of industry consolidation, lots of mergers and acquisitions that take place, and oftentimes marketing is somewhat brought in, a lot of times sadly as an afterthought, or not really having a seat at that table, so to speak, during the transaction. And you know, a lot of lessons that can be learned for other marketers, I think, in our industry as they go through something like this, and quite frankly, the executives as well, as they're considering, you know, while they need to balance keeping things confidential, also just being prepared with a program and a plan as it relates to name changes and communications to clients and candidates and employees and what's going to happen with the company and the teams and so forth. So I'm guessing that you probably learned a lot through your recent experience. And just curious for you, because obviously, you know, Orion having such a strong brand in and of itself, and then bringing in Novotis, from a culture and overall brand perspective, I guess, what are some of the things people should consider going through it? Maybe if you have a top three list or any specific roadblocks to look for, that would be really helpful, I think, to other people in like positions.
Sure. So I think something that's really important is that you have to take the time to acknowledge and embrace those differences, not gloss over them, but really kind of spend the time to work through what those differences are. Get them out on the table. If there are cultural differences, which there probably almost always are going to be, acknowledge that, right? It's not realistic to assume that on day one of an acquisition, everyone is now operating as one big team when T minus one, everyone was two separate teams. So I think it's be realistic about the cultures that both companies have, or, you know, different cultures coming together, and really take the time to gain that internal buy-in. So, you know, like you said, the confidentiality, and how early do you bring people into the discussion, and when do people find out that changes are going on? Taking time to get that buy-in, to explain the here's why we're doing this, even if it's a matter of showing what some of the ideas are that haven't been considered but have been crossed out. Why were those ideas not acted upon? Here's what we did consider and decided not to pursue for X, Y, and Z reasons. But as much information as I think you can responsibly share internally, you can't over-communicate, I don't think. So the more time that you take to do that communication piece, lay the groundwork, get the buy-in, embrace the differences and build upon them, I think that makes all the difference in the smoothness of the rollout and in how much people are embracing that change. And I think the planning piece, you know, plan for everything. The project document that we had leading up to the rebranding, when I first built it, it was one of those things where I would be like, oh, this must be done now. And then you're just at, there's always something more to add to it, right? It was staggering, all in this one project page. But the stuff that we thought of in the time that we took to build this document, to really kind of control everything, have it in one place, even for things such as, you know, what email are we going to send out announcing the change, or what timeline do we need to work backwards from in order to announce things and communicate them, and internal versus external, and just all of the planning that goes into it, I think, pays off later. And then I think also, no matter how big the change is, and it will seem insurmountable because it's so different, you know, for us, we were changing our name and logo after 25 years, and we have people who've been here 23, 24 years, and that's a really big change. And there was a lot of kind of almost disbelief, like, wow, is this really going to happen? It felt at times like we were climbing a mountain to get to that rebrand date. But then looking back, it all makes perfect sense, right? It just kind of happened like it was supposed to. It fell into place. because of all the planning and the buy-in and kind of all the pre-work done to get through it. But really kind of that knowledge that you will get through it, the change, as long as it's logical and is the right thing to do, will make sense to everyone on the other side of it. And it's take the time and due diligence internally to do the work and make sure people are on board as you're moving through that process.
I think you could probably write a blog alone on working with two different teams on name and logo change, especially after 25 years. That is it's a challenge, convincing people why they need to do different things, why it makes sense, the evolution of it, and so forth. But something you said really stood out to me, which is embracing the differences. And a lot of times, I think as people go through mergers and acquisitions, you know, one of the biggest challenges is the difference in cultures and the difference in brand, the difference in the way they operate. And it's really easy to go down the path of it's not going to be a success really quickly when internal staff kind of catches wind of all of the differences. So I think your view on embracing the differences to basically leverage that to help you get to that next level is really smart. And clearly, as you all have worked on this, you've done a great job coming out of the gate with the new brand and bringing the two companies together. But I would bet there's a couple additional lessons there that you could share in coaching people on how to do that. But I like that philosophy a lot. So you talked about your marketing team and how it's grown over the years, and you all are dispersed across the country. We are, as you know, as well with our company. What are some of the things you do as a team to kind of keep everyone together and cohesive? So whether it's communication, obviously culture being extremely important, what are some of the things that you've done that others can maybe learn from when having a remote workforce?
Yeah, so one thing I started, this was when I was in the office. So I was actually in our Raleigh office for about 6 years, 6.5 years, and have been in Houston since that. But when I was in the office, I started this and I just kept it up. But it's really having time for a scheduled standing call with each of my direct reports, no matter what else goes on, that will happen every week. And it's something where I might talk to them every single day on the phone, but that specific 1 hour, and sometimes it might be more than 1 hour, but that time is catch up time, talk about priorities, what needs to get done this week, where we're tracking on big projects that they're working on, but really carving out that time for the one-on-one. And as the team has grown, sometimes that feels like it's a lot of time to do every week, but I think it makes all the difference. And you know, we all know that when you get on a group conference call, there's never a chance for a personal connection. If you're, you know, the two people chit-chatting while the other eight are trying to start the meeting, that makes you a bottleneck in the process. There's nothing helpful there. But I think that when you put some time aside where no matter what, we're going to be talking for 1 hour, it's really a chance to make that personal connection, get to know your team as people and not just employees, but really keep kind of that strong bond regardless of where you are or what time zone or what state you're in. So that's been important. And then collectively as a group, the program Slack has really been a game changer for us. So I think we probably started that about a year and a half ago now. And when I just wanted to try it. So I said, hey guys, we're just going to try this for a few days. And I would like us to try to cut down on our emails over the next week and really just work in Slack and see how it goes. And I think there was a little bit of initial kind of like, oh, where is this coming from? It's a, you know, whole new thing. But the collective group communication that we've been able to have, the visibility that you let people have on things. Most of the time, if someone doesn't know something, it's not because it's a confidential piece of information that someone doesn't want to share. It's just that you haven't thought to share it. And the beauty of Slack is that you're able to communicate within channels, have these different conversations and topics, and you can catch up. Someone goes out on vacation, they come in and read all these chats and catch up on everything. So it's really been collectively a great communication tool for us. And then it might be something as small as on a Friday afternoon sharing a funny video that everybody can talk about and kind of bond with a little bit of downtime together. But it's really changed the way that we work together. Then I think you still do have to make the time for the in-person, you know, and everybody is remote. I think my team is in 5 states altogether, so we're really spread out. Some people on my team had never even met others. So this summer we met in Raleigh for a two-day meeting and really had a great productive time together. We did some team building, even got out to an escape room challenge together, which was a lot of fun. You know, had everybody got a chance to present on something they're working on and proud of. We did a lot of brainstorming, but just kind of spending that 2 days together when we are apart the majority of the year, you know, definitely makes a big difference in bringing everyone together and reconnect.
I feel like our teams run in parallel how we're structured, and I agree on a few things. One, the Slack component. We also use Slack, and it's so important to have something like that where people can give direct quick messages and just really, it feels so community focused, like having opportunities to just share and connect using it as a tool. I will say personally, my email has gone down by, I would say, almost 75% just by using Slack. So from a productivity standpoint, it's really helped, but it's also forced us to focus and communicate our messages better. And we actually have a lot of fun with it. So different channels on kind of like good health, good vibes, so tips for different things we can do to be healthy during work, and just, you know, kind of fun things like that. So I agree with you completely on the right tool can make a big difference, and not to underestimate that in-person time as well. Even if it's just once a year, there's nothing like, you know, seeing someone and really getting to know them better. I love that you did an escape room challenge. I've been dying to do one of those, so I might try that as our next activity. But I couldn't agree with you more. Having, again, at least one time in person a year just to kind of see each other, but then having other outlets where you can do things is really important. So what about marketing excites you today in our industry? Maybe you can share a couple of trends you're seeing.
Sure. So I am really a numbers person, and I love tracking everything. And so I love how trackable everything is. You know, kind of when I started out, like the best you could do would maybe be dedicate a specific 1-800 number that you would use on a print ad, and then you are going to track the calls that come into that 1-800 number, and that was the return on your ad, right? Or just like, I feel like we were always kind of trying to create things to track stuff that really wasn't very trackable. And it's the opposite now. And, you know, to the point where you almost can have overload, but from emails and conversion rates and how digital ads are performing and text campaigns, there's really not any excuse to not be testing all the time and see what works best and always improving on it. So I love that. Another thing is how content and search are sort of finally coming together. You know, search has always been, at least to me, very elusive. And luckily I have a great web manager on our team who he keeps on top of all the search. But it's very hard to keep up with and hard to stay on top of and not always very intuitive in how your content and search would align. And that is changing a lot. And that's great. I love the fact that now if you can write a very, very well-written web page and have the right content on there, that's going to pay off in search results. So I think that's kind of a very satisfying evolution of search that wasn't there, you know, 10 or so years ago.
So was marketing always your first passion?
No, not at all. I stumbled into it. I started out as pre-med and was positive that I would be a doctor. And about 3 years, I still got the degree. So I have a biology degree, but about 3 years into college, decided that was not for me, picked up a business minor, and then ended up working in wellness and kind of fell into marketing there because I had the opportunity to create and market a subsidized wellness program through an insurance company and really, really fell in love with the marketing piece at that point. Then I went back and got my master's and did an integrated program where it was half MBA and half public health. So really kind of like melded the two there and just kept with marketing from that point on.
So if not marketing, and I feel like I've learned a lot about you today, by the way, so a couple things stand out to me. If not marketing, what would you be doing? If you could turn back time or retire tomorrow, what profession other than marketing would you like to try and why?
So the caveat would have to be that I retire and I'm no longer worried about money. So let's say I retired and if I never get a paycheck, that's okay. I think that I would like to be an inventor because I have always had ideas for inventions and have really thought, you know, like if I had the chemistry set to do this or if I had the tools or the resources or the ability to do something, I would love to see where some of my invention ideas could go, but I could not count on a paycheck for that one. So it would have to be in my next lifetime.
That's a good caveat for that. If you had all the money in the world, what could you do?
Yeah.
And that sounds like a fun thing, just to be able to try to create different things. I think people always have great ideas, but, you know, it's not as easy to execute them because we actually need to work and collect that paycheck. But if not, I love that. So an inventor. All right. So, Colleen, I know you are really busy at work, obviously, and at home, and just have a busy lifestyle. How do you spend your time when you're not working?
Outside of work, I'm really with my family as much as I can be. So I have two little girls, a 9-year-old who's in fourth grade and a newly turned 3-year-old. So they are a lot of fun, keep us really busy. I love to read, be outside, and really just travel and, you know, experience new things when we can.
Oh, fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being here today. I learned a tremendous amount about military recruitment that I did not know. So I truly appreciate you opening up and sharing the company's foundation and also just giving us some insights about acquisitions. Again, in the industry, there's so much consolidation. I think it's important for marketers to understand what goes into that and just be knowledgeable and aware and make sure that they can contribute to that, because I really do believe that that integration and that openness to embrace differences and really kind of the communication piece of it all is so important, and that's where marketing can play a really key role. So anyway, you've shared so much great input and advice with us today. Thank you so much. And if people wanted to get in touch with you, how would they do so?
Sure. You can find me on LinkedIn. It's Colleen Whiteside. And also email. My email address is cwhiteside@oriontalent.com.
Fantastic. Thank you again, Colleen.
Thanks so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening to this week's The Edge episode. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. And you can also email me at etatum@clearedgemarketing.com. And let me know if you have any questions or if you want to hear about anything in particular as it relates to our Women in Staffing series or our marketing episodes. So just shoot me an email and I look forward to connecting with you. Thank you.